during this time we've had so much fellowship about the kingdom of the Lord. Is it perfect now? We are not so perfect. Oh Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord is really coming soon. And it's not just a matter of faith or our faith, but there are signs of the times that evidence that he is coming quickly. And when the Lord comes, his kingdom will also appear. The kingdom is important. The coming age is the appearance of the kingdom of heaven. The appearing of the kingdom of heaven. And it is important that we prepare ourselves, that we would inherit this kingdom of heaven when it comes. Would it not be tragic, terrible, if we would miss this? It is our hope of glory. Even in the time of the Old Covenant, the prophets spoke about it, like Daniel chapter 7, that the saints would inherit the kingdom. Daniel said this very clearly. He even mentioned it three times, that the saints will inherit the kingdom. Do you not want to be among them? It will be a battle. Because whenever it's to do with the kingdom, there is a battle. Do you think the enemy would just cede the right, the kingdom so easily, and he'll just say, oh, it's fine, just take the kingdom? No. John tells us that the entire world today is in the hand of the evil one, and that's a problem. It's a problem. And the Lord desires that we would gain back this kingdom. And praise the Lord, he came. And he really destroyed the enemy. He overcame. And today, he is sitting on the throne. And he also wants to bring us to the throne. That is the goal. Salvation is not the goal. It is simply a wonderful means. Of course, the Lord must save us. But the goal is that he wants to bring us to the throne. The throne is the goal. That's why Hebrews is so important. After he accomplished the salvation, he ascended and is sitting to the right hand of the throne of God. And what is he waiting for? He's waiting for all the enemies to become his footstool, to be under his feet. All of his enemies. And so I ask myself and I ask you all tonight, are we really cooperating with the Lord that all the enemies would truly be under his feet? Are we fighting alongside the Lord? If we view the situation today, how much have we done to make this come to pass? It is a battle. And the Lord needs a healthy army today. We love to speak of the church, Ephesians, Christ and the church. But we stop in chapter 5. Who really treasures chapter 6 among us? We all treasure and enjoy chapter 5. And so up until chapter 5, we read it. But praise the Lord, now we also value chapter 6 because it is about the kingdom and about the battle. And why does it say in chapter 6, why does it speak about the armor and the battle? Because that is our goal. It's not always about having a wonderful, nice church life and having a wonderful Sunday meeting. But ultimately, it is a matter of this battle. And until today, it is about this battle. To inherit the kingdom requires a battle. And this morning we saw the mystery of the kingdom. Why is it a mystery? Because in the development and the establishment, the building up of the kingdom of God is not so simple because there is an enemy. And our heart is fallen. And right in the beginning, when the word is sown, the evil one, the wicked one, comes like a bird of prey. So quickly he comes to immediately snatch away the word. Don't think that it's not this simple. For so many years we've heard the word of the Lord. So many years. And we've heard so much of the word. And what is the result? Yeah, we can look back. How much has this word worked, effected in us? Steve is here in 1971. We all came here together. It was wonderful, and it is wonderful that we are still sitting here and having fellowship and bearing this burden together, but how many remain? How many? We don't want to think more highly of ourselves. No, of course it is very sad. But it shows that it is not so easy after more than 40 years. From 1971 to today, how many years has it been? Is it 47 years? 48 years? Long years, many years. How many remain? It's really not easy. It is a battle. Because the enemy is always there. And because our heart is fallen, it is not so easy. If my heart is not right and is not always constantly being dealt with by the Lord, being treated by this wonderful doctor who can heal us, physician who can heal us, then there is no way. At some point, it will stop, it will cease. Then there's not so much for us to talk about, but this is our history. I don't say this to criticize anyone. I love the saints. and I still dream about them, believe me. We worked together so many years, labored together so many years. And yet, in the end, so few remain. And actually, you see this pattern throughout the scriptures. It's important to note, right in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, the enemy immediately was there. The serpent was there. There was no hesitation. He didn't wait. Really direct. And the Lord did not stop the serpent. You would have thought, if you're God, if you're the Lord, if you're God, what would you have done? You would have stopped the serpent immediately, but that is not God's way. Maybe we cannot understand everything, but it was not God's way. God created man in a wonderful manner. He desires that we would willingly cooperate with him, voluntarily work with him. And that is a challenge. But the point is that the enemy was there right away. And before Adam and Eve even ate from the tree of life, and to be partakers of the tree of life, Satan was there. And do you think it's any different today? Look at the children of Israel. They were a picture and were meant to be an expression of the kingdom of God on the earth at that time. And God wanted to reign through Israel, and he had a whole plan. But what happened in the end? Once again, another problem. The enemy understood how to corrupt God's people, and in the end, his house became a house of idol worship. And in the end, God had to depart from his house. The glory of the Lord departed from the temple in Ezekiel. And Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed everything. And God had to give it up. And then in the new covenant, the king himself came. And that was a war, a battle. Do you think the Lord had an easy time of it when he was a man on this earth? He was the only one who really stood for the kingdom. He even was the king himself. His coming is the coming of the kingdom. And immediately the enemy was there, and it was a challenge. But praise the Lord, the Lord won. He was victorious and he overcame. He won the victory. It was always, and it has always been, a battle. Do you think the battle has ceased? The Lord was only one. He needs a people. He needs a kingdom. We are his kingdom. A king without a people, without a kingdom, doesn't exist. And now that the Lord is sitting on the throne, he is waiting for us. But no one cares about the kingdom. We are saved, praise the Lord. We are regenerated. We preach the gospel. There are so many people on this earth, so many became believers, but not for the kingdom. We are for many things, but no one cares for the kingdom. So what shall we do, and what shall the Lord do? This morning, Philip showed us in a very clear way that the Lord came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And this word, this seed, is the seed of the kingdom, is it not? What did he sow into us? It's not just the word of salvation or the word of grace. And not just the word of life. Of course, it is the word of righteousness, but these are just single individual aspects. But the goal is the kingdom. If I sow an apple seed, what do I get? An apple tree. And the Lord sowed the seed of the kingdom. What do you think he wants to harvest? Tell me. The kingdom. Not a denomination. And not just a meeting. Not just a few people who love him. He wants to receive his kingdom. And that's why when he taught the apostles to pray, he said, "Your kingdom come." When he taught the disciples to pray, he said, "Your kingdom come." And after his resurrection, how long did the Lord remain on this earth? He remained 40 days. And what did he speak of during those 40 days? He spoke about the kingdom? Really? For 40 days? Are you sure? Yes, he spoke in particular about the kingdom. He spoke about the kingdom. Can you imagine? For 40 days. What does this show us? That means that the kingdom must have been very important to him. Before he ascended, he spoke about the kingdom for 40 days. Yeah, he had so much to say about the kingdom. Too bad they didn't write down everything he said. It would be wonderful if we had 40 days worth of what he spoke about the kingdom. Do you have that much to say about the kingdom? To speak for 40 days? I think after 40 minutes, we have nothing left to say. But the Lord spoke for 40 days. And the brother also highlighted that Paul he had his own rental home, rented apartment before he was martyred. And what did he emphasize there in this last time? The kingdom. He emphasized the kingdom. And Paul said so clearly that the Lord saved us out of the power of darkness and conveyed us, transferred us into the kingdom, into the kingdom. So how important is this matter of the kingdom? We must see this. And if you see the return, the coming back of the Lord. And we also have to see the kingdom, that we have to prepare ourselves for the kingdom. That's why it's so important to see this. And the enemy wants to prevent this. You can do a missionary work. You can go all over the world and preach the gospel. It's okay. But after we are saved, what do? It's written in Acts that at that time in Jerusalem, 10,000 were saved. James said to Paul, look, 10,000. Also among the priests, there were some that believed, and all were zealous for the kingdom. No? For what? For the law. They were all zealous for the law. What are we zealous for today? For the church life? For a nice meeting? For messages? For conferences? So that's why we have to turn to this wonderful goal now, because we are shortly before the coming back of the Lord. The Lord is coming soon. And we see also, we see in particular here in Matthew, when the kingdom appears, we must be ready, because not everyone will enter into the kingdom. If you ask me if I'm certain that I will enter into the kingdom, I do not dare to say, oh, I'm 100% certain I'll enter in. Or are you certain? No one is certain. Until it's the reality. But if we know the kingdom is coming, we have to do our best to prepare ourselves. Praise the Lord. Who can say we are certain? We, at least not yet. But praise the Lord, we still have time. I don't know how much time, but I can tell you, when the peace treaty is signed, then the last 7 years have begun. That means that this 70th year prophetic week has begun. Daniel chapter 9 is a special chapter. Daniel chapter 9 is very special. Because, first of all, it gives us almost a precise point in time when the Lord will come the first time. He separated out these 70 prophetic weeks. And in this 70th prophetic week, that's 480 years, the Lord gave us a precise point in time that the Messiah would come for the first time. And it's fulfilled in Zechariah 9:9. You see, your king is coming and lowly and riding on a donkey to bring salvation. That was the first coming of the Messiah. But in the same chapter, and even the same section, the Lord told us and showed us when he would come the second time. It's actually strange and wonderful. the Lord wants us to know. If you pay attention, if the Jews had paid attention back then, they would have known when the Messiah was coming. But no, they didn't want to know. And so they missed it. But in chapter 9, the Lord shows in the 70th prophetic week that in this 70th week, He will come. And what signifies the beginning of this last week? We can read it. Daniel 9:27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week. For 1 week. This is very short. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So here we see that the Lord showed us through Daniel when he will come again, in a very short word, in a brief word. So between the 69th and the last, the 70th prophetic week, are the 2,000 years of the New Covenant, which was hidden to the at the time of Daniel. I think God is very fair. From Adam to Abraham, the time of the fathers, it was 2,000 years. And so for Israel, for the time of the Old Covenant, he allowed 2,000 years. And also for us, for the Gentiles, for the nations, he also allowed 2,000 years. God is very fair. And then there's a millennial kingdom, a kingdom of 1,000 years. Altogether, it's 7,000 years. And today we are living in this time where soon this 70th prophetic week will begin. This is very amazing, astonishing. I don't like to talk about it too much, but we cannot be silent. We cannot say with 100% certainty, and so we don't say it. But we have to believe that the Lord is giving us signs. The disciples also asked the Lord in chapter 24 of Matthew, "What are the signs? What are the signs of your second coming? When will you return, and what will it look like?" And the Lord didn't say, "Oh, that's you don't need to know that. It's going to happen in 2,000 years." Is that what the Lord said? "Oh, don't worry about that. It's unimportant. It's going to take a long time. It'll take 2,000 years." That's not what the Lord said. But all the apostles in the scripture did not only speak of the coming back of the Lord, but they awaited it, anticipated it. Even 2,000 years ago, they were expecting the Lord's coming. And the danger for us is this attitude, "Oh, they've waited 2,000 years and every single one said he was coming soon and he still hasn't come, so please." Stop talking about it. He is not coming for a long time yet. That's why Peter had to write something in 2 Peter 3. But today it is no longer this way. Today it is really no longer this way. We are not living at the beginning of the new covenant. We are not living at the beginning of this age. We are living at the end of this age. And this 70th prophetic week has a lot to do with Israel. And the scripture shows us that when the nation of Israel is established, and all the nations will know that He is the Lord. The Lord will show all the nations. And since 1948, Israel has existed. It's been the center and the focal point. He will return to Israel and Jerusalem in 1967. So many signs until today. Praise the Lord. We have to see, we must see that the end of democracy, of this picture that was shown in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel speaks so much about the coming back of the Lord and points to this point in time. And we are here, we're at the feet, at the very bottom of this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. And in the end, there are still the 10 toes. And we are right there. We're right there. We've already spoken about this repeatedly. At the end of this age, it will be the age of democracy. That's the whole picture. And I want to tell you, in particular in the US, democracy is at an end. It's over. You don't live there. But everyone who lives there, especially the believers, we all notice it is the end of democracy. I'm not for politics. I'm not a politician. But you can see that today democracy is at an end. It's over. Actually, America should be happy that Trump and not someone else is president. It's really serious. Those in power even want to destroy democracy entirely. Can you imagine? There are politicians who want to bring the entire country back to communism and even socialism. Can you imagine that? Let them continue dreaming. You can't turn the clock back. It's not possible. But according to this image, this picture in Daniel, you cannot go back to the Roman Empire. You can't keep going up in the image, but you have to continue downward to the 10 toes, which is this idea today of globalism. They want a single government. Malcolm recently said, a month ago, you can look Look it up in the internet. All nations should give up their own sovereignty and submit to the establishment of a global single government. That's your own chancellor. Did you not hear her say that? No? The whole world is speaking about globalism today. And when she spoke this way, everyone applauded, everyone clapped. Did you hear? No? She said this in Berlin. I don't live here, and even I heard about it. How come you didn't hear about it? You live here. You don't know what your own chancellor is saying? Because we're all so occupied with many things. We're so busy. But really, I have to tell you, I'm not for politics. But I have to tell you, I have to warn you from my heart. It's nothing to do with politics. And you don't have to believe me. And you don't have to tell other people about it. But there is a movement underway for globalism. Step by step, there are small steps. All the borders are being eliminated. And in the end, every nation will lose its sovereignty and everything will be centralized. It's not so easy, but it's also not without danger. It is dangerous. If we read Revelation 17, when the beast comes, there are 10 toes. Why are there 10 toes? Well, because humans only have 10 toes. But the 10 toes are at the very end. And it's written there in Revelation 17 that these 10 toes are 10 nations, 10 mighty nations. That are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that if and when such a global government is built, who will sit at the head of that government? You? Merkel? Who will it be? Who is able to sit at the top of that global government? That means they are preparing something for the coming age, which is very short. I mean, the 10 toes are not very long. How long are your toes? Maybe 3.5 centimeters. We are preparing for the coming back of the Lord. Don't you think Satan is also preparing? He is also preparing for someone's return. Because the beast was already there and is not today, but will come back. In Revelation 17, it tells us this. So there are actually two returns. The return of someone who should not be here, who will destroy everything, the beast. And And his kingdom will prepare for his coming. It doesn't make sense that he would come and his kingdom is not prepared. The beast of the Lord. And we are preparing for the return of our Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the whole world is also preparing, but for whom? And that is why, dear saints, I am not a prophet. I am not prophesying, but there is much that is written. We have so many signs, so many indications. We don't have to get into all the details, but the time is really coming soon. And this year, in this year, Trump and his team have already been preparing for this peace plan in the Middle East. And the day before yesterday, the most recent news is that on June 4th or 5th, after Ramadan, which is the Muslim holiday, they will present this peace plan. This man is a special person. No other president of the United States is like this one. And he has so many enemies, so many opponents. And the entire Democratic part of the government has done so much in these last years to destroy him, but they've not succeeded. Every step he takes, everything he has undertaken, they have opposed. And he continued to rise unscathed. And he always triumphed in the end. He said that he likes winning. He likes to win. And when he presents this peace plan, he surely must have confidence that he will succeed and that the plan will succeed. And he has labeled this plan the deal of the century. How do you say deal of the century in German? Yeah. Deal of the century. Oh, the Germans even use the word deal, so we can also say deal, the deal of the century. And this president has made this deal the priority of his presidential term from the very beginning. If that is not arranged by the Lord, I don't know who arranged it. Someone has to fulfill Daniel 9:27. It's not you, it's not me, it's no one in Europe. But now suddenly there is someone who possibly is the one of which Daniel 9 speaks. Perhaps it is him. Perhaps it's not him. Well, we'll see. We will see when the treaty is signed. But if it is, in fact, this man, then you can do the math. How much time do we have left? Not very long. When I think about it, sometimes I get goosebumps and my hair stands on end. Because the time is so short, so what should we do? And once this treaty is really executed, finalized, then we only have the first 3.5 years. When you hear 3.5 years, what do you think of in the scriptures? What do 3.5 years signify? Where is it written of 3.5 years? That's the period of time that the Lord in his human life fulfilled his ministry on this earth. He began it when he was 30 years old, and in the period of 3.5 years, he fulfilled God's plan as a man. And the Lord may also only give us 3.5 years, but these 3.5 years are intensively placed to fully execute God's plan. And then on the cross, the Lord said, "It is finished." In these last three and a half years, what will you do? And why wait until the last 3.5 years? So we can't still do so much nonsense, try to do something for ourselves. No, we have to learn to redeem the time, to really build the kingdom of God in your daily life. It's not so bad and it's not so hard. We saw it last night. This constitution of the kingdom is just 3 chapters long, only 3 chapters. But very comprehensive. Some have said, well, the standard is very high, but we have the King himself who dwells in us, who has already fulfilled everything, and now he will also fulfill it in us. It's not that you and I and we by ourselves have to fulfill it. No, we cannot. But we do it together with him. He dwells in us. Work out your own salvation because it is God who works in you. But if you say, no, I don't want to do anything, then God also can't do anything. The one who fulfilled this constitution and even created it and wrote it in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, this one dwells in you and me and in all of us today to help us to build such a kingdom that we would live in such a way that we could live as sons of the kingdom, and that we can also overcome this enemy. The enemy wants to destroy everything, but today We should not let him continue to do this. Lord, no longer. I've had enough. It's enough. If he keeps destroying, in the end, there will be nothing left for you. There will be nothing left. So don't take this word of the kingdom so lightly. Oh, just, okay. It's not okay to take it lightly. The Lord continues and has to continue to work on us, that we would give our heart to him daily. Lord, dwell in my heart, rule in my heart. That's not just a song. But let the Lord reign and go into the word. As Peter said, until the prophetic word rises in our heart like the morning star. It doesn't happen on its own, but we have to take it seriously. Take the word seriously. Pay attention, otherwise it's not possible. Let our heart be dealt with by the Lord. Lord, heal me. As Jeremiah said, heal me so I will be healed. And it's not so hard. Dear saints, we can make it. That means the Lord in us can make it, with us and in us, together with us. But we have to redeem the time. As Paul said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Because this evil one, this devil, is trying every way to destroy everything. It is a battle. And that's why, praise the Lord, we all need this consciousness. Lord, you are coming quickly. I want to consecrate myself for the building up of your kingdom today. Every day is important for us. I don't know what your experience is or what your sense is, but for me, I feel time is passing so quickly. Time passes so quickly. Praise the Lord. May the Lord have mercy on us. I want to see even more confirmation from him. We don't trust ourselves, what we think, what we know, but we need more confirmation from him. And it is my sense, it appears to me, that in the last years, the Lord has finally confirmed. When the whole world thought that that woman was going to be president, the Lord said, no, it will be him. No one believed it, but it was him. But this is from the Lord. Remember, we had this conference about Isaiah 45, about Cyrus. And shortly afterwards, we saw that Israel labeled him as Cyrus, and they even said he is the Cyrus of today. Do you remember this? But then there was this confirmation. They even minted this temple coin. With Cyrus and Trump superimposed. And in December 2017, this president declare Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel. And 5 months later, he fulfilled his promise that he would, if he became president, transfer the American embassy to Jerusalem. And he also did this. He has always kept his word, what he has spoken. And then they made another coin, a second coin. And now he wants to present this peace plan. Which man is really capable of accomplishing this? So please, wake up. We don't have to be afraid, and we are not for prophecy, nothing like that. But the Lord gives us signs. Signs of the times. And all of these things are happening around this to fulfill the 70th prophetic week. At some point, it has to happen. At some time. I hope it will be in our time. And even if it is not him or this time, we still have to be prepared. We must still prepare ourselves. I always say, and if it's not him, I don't know when he's coming. I don't know when the Lord is coming. But I also don't know when I'm going. So, all of our time is important. And it's important for us to be prepared at any time. Because we don't know when he's coming. I hope now we have a little bit of an idea. We know the hour or the day, but the season maybe. The Lord does give us signs, as he gave Noah, as in the time of Noah and in the time of Lot. It is, in fact, like this today. The Lord is giving us some indicators. So, briefly through this fellowship tonight, all of you, to be awake and watchful, and to expect the Lord's coming soon, which is normal for the Christian life. All the apostles waited and also expected him. That is part of the Christian life. The coming back of the Lord is just as much the gospel. So why wouldn't we await him? Even if he is really not coming now, you still have to prepare yourself. But today, we really have the confirmation, and even many confirmations, not just in one age, but in many ages. The confirmations in the last 3 years are numerous, not to speak of 1948, not to speak of that, we have the September 23rd, 2017, when the Virgin of the Constellation in Revelation 12. The Lord gave us many outward signs. So please take it seriously. Not just with fear, Yeah, recall the spirit that is described in Isaiah 11, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of counsel and might, and the spirit of Isaiah 11, sorry. Isaiah 11. Yes, the Lord did everything that the Father wanted and not his own will. And he never, and that is how we must be today. Yeah, we have to have this spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is normal. Because his coming is also a judgment. We can read Revelation, read in Revelation together, and then we can end the meeting. Revelation 22. There are these three verses where the Lord says, I am coming quickly. What verse should we start with? How about verse 12? Oh no, verse 7. Revelation 22:7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I am coming quickly. I am coming soon. I am coming quickly. Especially now in our age. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Praise the Lord. And then verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. How does your work look? The Lord says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Praise the Lord. You can read it yourself. And then in the end, in verse 20, testifies to these things, says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is so wonderful. That is how the Bible ends. Today we are in an age that is the age at the end of Revelation. Amen. Lord, come quickly.